following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Welcome Alan as he comes up to share the Word of God with you tonight.
Hey, we're going to be in John chapter 10, is where we're going to be. Actually, verses 1 through 18. Covering these verses tonight, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Just the task of doing that in the short period of time, it made me think of the Tower of London, and I'll tell you why. Some of you are familiar with the Tower of London just from history, right? Famous prison used by England for centuries, incarcerating names that you probably have heard, like Anne Boleyn, one of Henry VIII's wives. Sir Walter Raleigh, William Wallace was one of the prisoners in the Tower of London from Braveheart fame. But today, it's a tourist site. It's a good site. I mean, it's a great place to visit, and it's also where you go to see the crown jewels of England, of the monarchy. So when there's not a coronation or when there's not a wedding, these jewels are on display, right? So the crown that the queen wears and the orb that she would hold and all that famous jewelry that's worth, all that stuff's like over $7 billion. I mean, it's crazy. So you can see that, but when you see it, it's fast because you're on a moving walkway. Those of you that have been there, it's like an airport. You know, an airport, you've got the moving walkway. That's what it's like. So nobody stops and gawks and has the opportunity to bust the glass as if you could do that and get away with it. But it's just, you're moving fast. And you better get a quick look because before you know it, you've seen all the crown jewels. So it's not that I'm captivated by jewelry, but just the point being is there's a lot to see and you don't have much time to do it. And that's kind of like where we're at tonight. So we got some gems here, but in the next 20-some-odd minutes, we'll see. So let's pray, and we'll dive in, okay? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, we esteem it because it's yours, Lord. We don't revere the book or the tablet we're holding. We revere you, and these are the words that you have given to us, Lord. You've made sure through the centuries, Lord, through the millennia, that we would have this. And so, Lord, we take that seriously. If you think it's so important that we have your words for obvious reasons, Lord, we do. And so I pray tonight that Lord, we would just grab a hold of all that you have for us, Lord, that we wouldn't miss anything, none of us. Lord, in the cafe, out here in the courtyard, on Facebook Live, Lord, that none of us would miss what you have, what you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So let me just set up the context real quickly. Jesus has just healed somebody, and of course he did it the wrong way, at least as per the experts, how they felt he should have done it. It was on the Sabbath. But it was a man that was born blind. So blind, I'm talking, is blind since birth. So is that your alarm? The self-righteous religious leaders in Jerusalem, they just couldn't get past this. They couldn't get past how Jesus would do this miracle, how he would do it without them and without their interpretations of how things should be done. And so they're insulted and they're indignant and they're outraged. And so I'm going to back up just two verses to the last two verses of chapter 9, some of the Pharisees, and so this is part of that contingent of religious professional leaders in Jerusalem. They were with Jesus and they heard these words and they said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, 'Oh, we see,' therefore your sin remains." So Jesus is basically saying in so many words that if you just would admit that you needed help, if you would admit that, you'd receive it. But they were blind because of their self-righteousness. So Jesus continues with the story, chapter 10. This is a continuation. It's probably not a good break, but it's there. The story goes on, and he's going to share a parable. It's basically an analogy, right? He's going to share a parable of the sheep and the shepherds. And this was something very common to the day. So, you know, if you and I picked an example of traffic on Edinger, like everybody here gets it. Like, I know what that is because we all dealt with it to get here. So when Jesus talks about sheep and shepherds, everyone goes, yeah, I get that. I know what he's talking about. Very common sight, right? So specifically to that era in the Middle East and shepherds at the time, when they are not out in the tules and they're bringing their sheep in for the night, especially in larger areas and in cities and such, they would bring their sheep into large pens, like corrals, right, at night. And so then when they wanted to take their sheep out in the morning, of course, to graze and all, they would come in through the door, and the doorkeeper would give each particular shepherd access, and then the shepherd would just call his sheep. Which sounds a little strange, but the sheep, they know their shepherd's voice. Kind of like, you know, if you have a dog, your dog knows your voice, and you say, Fido, come, and Fido comes, because Fido knows your voice. So they'd follow him out. And the other sheep, well, they wouldn't, because they know their own shepherd's voice, and so they would just stay until their shepherd called them out. So Jesus is going to share this parable for those religious leaders that are very upset with him right now, plus all the bystanders. And by now, there's a lot of people gathered around. And so everyone is available to hear. And so Jesus says, most assuredly, verse 1, by the way, chapter 10, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And so it's pretty simple stuff, right? Just in our reading of it there, okay, that's pretty basic, get that. But spiritual pride got in their way. Spiritual pride causes spiritual blindness, which is certainly a warning even for us that are here tonight that are believers, just to know that. If spiritual pride creeps in, believe me, it will blind you. And it blinded those of the religious crowd, which for the most part were unbelievers, right? We know very few that were actual true believers, but they were blind. And so they didn't get it. They didn't understand the very practical illustration that Jesus is presenting. Some of the bystanders get it, but it's important. The implications, they're massive. So Jesus is setting this illustration up of the shepherd. And now he's going to make two very, very radical claims and some related insights to that as well. And so the first one, we'll see it here in verse 7, is Jesus says, I am the door. Okay, in this parable, I'm the door, in the first part of it. So Jesus said, verse 7, he said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he'll go in and out and find pasture. So just building on that picture, that analogy of the sheep needing a shepherd. The thief, verse 10, the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the door of the sheepfold, the door, by the way, very exclusive. He didn't say, I'm a door. You know, there's a lot of doors, I'm a door. He said, no, I am the door of the sheepfold, very exclusive. And that's okay. Sometimes people are troubled by our gospel because it's so exclusive and it's so narrow. And yet, I know anyone that would say that to you, if you were to say to them, you know, if I came up with the cure for cancer. There's no cure for cancer right now. There's different ways of treating, and there's people have had some great results, and praise the Lord for that. But there's no one cure, right? Where people say, oh, well, you just need this one prescription. You take this, it's gone. It'll just eliminate. Doesn't matter what kind, pancreatic, lung, it doesn't matter. But if you were the one that came up with a cure, with a prescription, with a medicine that would do that, and you were to say, you were to make the statement, there actually is. There is a way. There's one way to beat this terminal cancer. No one's going to whine and say, oh, really? That's so narrow. I can't believe that. No, people just wouldn't do that. And so the fact is that we are terminal, right? All of us are terminal. We're all going to die, either with or without a shepherd. But we're all going to die. And there's one cure available. And it's available to anyone, by the way. I love that in verse 9. Jesus made sure that point got there. It's available to anyone. One cure. And by the way, you're not it. You're not even part of the cure, right? That's so important to understand. It's so key to the gospel. You're not part of the cure. That's why Paul said in Galatians, and I love this, one of my favorite verses in Galatians, he said, if reconciliation with God, in other words, of getting right with God, if that could happen through your good actions, and I'll stress the word if that could happen by your good actions, by your righteous deeds, by you adhering to some code or law, if it could happen that way, if getting right with God could happen that way, then Jesus died in vain, the Apostle Paul said. Obviously, we know Jesus didn't die in vain. So Jesus goes on and unveiled a couple of startling facts related to this whole picture here, and one of which, and within the text we just read, he says that we have an enemy. And the enemy's MO is to rob us and to destroy us, to kill anything good in our lives, sometimes blatantly as a thief, sometimes as the predator wolf. Jesus would talk about that in other illustrations of the shepherd, and even here as well, or disguised as a lamb but still being a wolf, because we're easy prey. We, as people, we're very easy prey, just as sheep are, which leads to the next startling fact. We are like sheep. The scripture declares it. Life declares it. Your life, my life declares that we are like sheep. We are not like gazelles, as much as we would like to be. We are not like lions and lionesses. We are not like eagles. We are not like stallions. We are sheep. We are like the rare animals who will literally starve and die of thirst without a shepherd. Which is very strange. Most animals, that's not an issue. Sheep, without a shepherd, they will starve. They will actually die of thirst. And you think, gosh, how could that be? And you think, with people, how can that be? How can we be like we are? But we are. So that's what sheep are like. They're animals that literally will follow one another right off the cliff with this dumb smile on their face. They'll just fall, there we go. And that's just how they roll. So we are like sheep, but we desperately need the good shepherd. And so if you're a believer, I hope you relate to this more today, tonight, than you did, say, a year ago. I hope you say, yeah, that's so true. And I realize that even more now. Because there is, and I'll call it a progression of digression, there's progress in your faith when you realize more and more how desperately you need the Lord. Not how much less, but how much more that you need him. And I love that progression. You see it presented in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul. Because early in his walk, I think it's to the Corinthians, he says, you know, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm an apostle, but I'm the least of the apostles. You know, that's okay. Okay, I get that. And then later in his growth as a believer, he doesn't say, well, you know, maybe I'm not the least. You know, maybe I'm kind of in the middle. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I'm the least of the saints. So forget about the apostles, just of all believers, all born-again people that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who have asked him to forgive them of their sins and look to him for eternal life. Of all the saints, Paul said, I'm the least of them. And then towards the end of his life, Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And so you see what appears to be a digression, but it's really a progression. It's really growth. It's that understanding. It's kind of like, you know, when in our early teens where we thought, man, I pretty much got this dialed in. I don't know what's up with my parents, but I really know about everything. And then by the time you hit your 30s, you realize, maybe your 20s, hopefully, that really wasn't the case. And by the time you hit your 50s, you realize that you know even less now than you did in your 40s. So we humans are like sheep, and we desperately need a shepherd. And we don't just need any shepherd. Thus, radical claim number two from verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says that. I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. One who is so committed to help us that he'd lay his life down for us. For us. That's how committed he is to us. Only a good shepherd would do that. Now, a literal shepherd may put himself in harm's way for his sheep. He may do that, but certainly is not going to die for them. He knows the lambs are helpless, and it'll try to help them out, you know, if a predator or a wolf comes. He's not going to die for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. And his laying down of his life is certainly in his death, first and foremost on the cross. But even on a day-to-day basis, he's committed to you. He's committed to me on a day-to-day basis. And that's why we should embrace the passage where he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the Lord saying that. That's an empty promise from somebody that means well, that's a good friend. That's the Lord saying, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. It's a good shepherd that truly cares for you. Verse 12, Verse 12. Let's see. Okay, but a hireling, just like a hired hand, like a ranch hand, a hireling, somebody that just paid to help watch the sheep. He who is not the shepherd, one who doesn't own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. Verse 14, Jesus again speaking, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my own. I am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so he's not the one that wants to rob you. He says there is a thief, but that's not him. He doesn't want to rob you of good. He doesn't want to destroy your life. And yet it seems like, and I've had these times too, where we think that the Lord wants to deprive us of his best. And that's just not true. And yet we think that, but that's not the Lord. He loved you enough. He loved me enough to lay his life down before you accepted his gift, his eternal gift of forgiveness and life. And so how much more now, right, that you're his? Does he love you? And he loves me. So he's the one, the only one who can give life. And as it says there in the text in verse 9, it's abundant life, right? And in fact, if that whole verse, Jesus is basically saying he saves you so you can be free to graze in true green pastures. Again, using the imagery of the sheep and the shepherd. Not counterfeit pastures, but the real deal, the real thing. And so like a good shepherd is needed by the sheep for their daily physical sustenance, the good shepherd is the only one who's going to provide spiritual sustenance, that which everybody has. Everybody has that need in their heart. And he's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can keep you from dehydrating, so to speak, spiritually. Only the Lord can do that. Only Jesus can do that. He's the only one that can keep you from starving spiritually. And apart from him, we will. And so that's why the analogy is so perfect, because as literal sheep will literally starve without a shepherd taking them to graze and feeding them and providing water for them, we will spiritually die apart from the Lord. And so sheep, they will. They'll ignorantly, they'll drink rancid water. And, oh, this is great. And they'll just slop it up. And they'll eat poisonous plants. Where most animals would know, sheep don't. And that's us. So the Good Shepherd Jesus, he's formed a new sheepfold, we read here in the next verse, verse 16. It's his sheepfold. It's the church. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. It's the church. It's not this church. It's not this building. It's not a denomination. It's that collective group, and you're part of it. That collective global group, right? Of people, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, all equal, all part of this community who admit, hey, I'm like a sheep. I know my only hope is in trusting the Good Shepherd. And so we read in the next few verses how Jesus does that, how he makes that possible. It's by willingly dying for us to have life. So verse 17 says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this command I have received from my Father. That's love. Because it's voluntary, right? It's not forced, like, I got to do this, so here it goes. No, he said, I do this willingly. That's real love. There's that choice there. And so there's choices always to be made. Two players in this choice tonight as it relates to our text. Jesus, first of all, who's already chosen to pay that debt that you and I could never pay, right? And a debt that he didn't know. He already chose to do that. But he also chooses to shepherd your life tonight and day after day, night after night. He chooses to do that, to shepherd your life right now. And then the other player, and this is you and it's me, choosing to admit the need and to call out to him to shepherd you, to shepherd me. And if you're already in his sheepfold, as our passage says tonight, I would say that the word for you, some takeaways really for you tonight is if you're acting this way, stop acting like you don't need his care. Stop flying solo, right? And also, the passage would teach us that are part of that sheepfold right now to rest in his care. Just, my goodness, look who's taken, who's the shepherd of your life. It's Jesus. Just rest in his care. And I speak that to myself. And I get that more than I did 10 years ago, but I still need to grow in that area. Just rest in his care. And enjoy the pastures that he leads you into, right? Enjoy the life with him. Don't allow yourself to be robbed by the thief, as he spoke of. And don't settle for counterfeit pastors. And you know what I mean by that. That stuff that you think, oh, this will satisfy. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Only the Lord can lead to true green pastures. And then be refreshed by the waters that he provides as a shepherd, as a good shepherd does. And by the way, don't just acknowledge it. Yeah, I believe that. Oh, that's true. And yep, it's, you know, I see that. Partake of them. Don't just acknowledge them. Partake of them. And then lastly, I would say tonight, to all that are here, if any are not in his sheepfold, as Jesus described it, the word for you is to choose life, right? That's a pretty obvious conclusion, to choose life tonight. There's one door. Yeah, it's exclusive. It's just the reality. So you don't want to be like the blind, self-righteous, and they were religious leaders to boot, which is fascinating. Don't be like that. Don't be like those who denied that they had such a very real need. And before you leave tonight, if again that's you, not in the sheepfold, don't leave that way. Don't leave that way, because you have something that's terminal. Because we all do. You have a terminal disease, and there's only one hope, and it's Jesus. And we want to talk to you about that. We want to see you embrace the gift of life, the forgiveness that Jesus paid for with his life for you and for me. So I want to pray for all of us here right now. And if you want to be part of his sheepfold, maybe during the song, Interline's going to... Drew and Mel are going to do another song. I'm just going to hang it over in the bench here. Come up, let's talk. Let's talk about what that looks like. And if you're part of the sheepfold, I realize who your shepherd is, right? And rest in his care. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. That you would take care of us the way you do, that knowing who we are and what we're like, and you know it better than we do ourselves, you desire to shepherd us, Lord. That's your heart, to shepherd me, to shepherd my brothers and sisters that are out in this courtyard in the cafe tonight and watching online, Lord. That's your heart. And Lord, forgive me for those times when I don't rest in that, when I think I've got to shepherd my life, when you are the one that made that a reality, that you'd be the shepherd of my life. So God, help us to rest in you and to partake of what you provide. And Lord, we pray those that are of the sheepfold, we pray for any that may be with us tonight that have yet to say yes to your son, Jesus. Father, that tonight they would, that tonight they say, yeah, I've got a desperate need and Jesus is my only hope. He's my only hope. Lord, we thank you for that hope that's available, as your son said, for anyone. We pray in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.